Be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. At that time, Jesus revealed himself again to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. He revealed himself in this way. Together with Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, Zebedee's sons, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." And they said to him, "We'll come with you." So they went out and got into a boat. But that night, they caught nothing. When it was already dawn, Jesus was standing on the shore, but the disciples did not recognize that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, have you caught anything to eat?" They answered him, "No." He said, "Cast the net over the right side of the boat and you will find something." So they cast it. And they were not able to pull it in because of the number of fish. So the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he tucked in his garment, for he was lightly clad, and jumped into the sea. The other disciples came into the boat, for they were not far from shore, only about 100 yards, dragging the net with the fish. When they climbed out on shore, they saw a charcoal fire with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you just caught." So Simon Peter went over and dragged the net ashore, full of 153 large fish. Even though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come have breakfast." And none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" Because they realized it was the Lord. Jesus came over and took the bread and gave it to them, and in like manner, the fish. This was now the third time Jesus was revealed to the disciples after being raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Simon Peter answered him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." Said to Simon Peter a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Simon Peter answered him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." Jesus said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was distressed that Jesus had said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Amen, amen, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to dress yourself and go about where you wanted. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and drag you to where you do not want to go." He said this, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had said this, he said to him, "Follow me." The Gospel of the Lord. We're now several months into the Year of Mercy, a special ecclesiastical holy year that's meant to influence everything the Church does, everything we do if we're faithful Catholics. Everything's supposed to be filtered through the lens of God's merciful love. Normally, when we encounter the readings today, it's a great opportunity to focus on the papacy, on how Jesus establishes the fundamental task of the papacy in tending and feeding his sheep and lambs. But today what I'd prefer to do is to focus in this personal scene between Christ and Peter on the way Jesus strengthens Peter for his vocation through his own reception of the Lord's mercy, so that we can see in this scene how the Lord wishes to strengthen us for our vocation and mission through the same reception of that divine gift. There's such drama in this scene, and there's such incredible particular love that the Lord gives for Peter. On the night Jesus was betrayed, during the Last Supper, Jesus said those poignant words, "Amen, amen, I tell you, one of you will betray me." And all of the apostles started to go around saying, "Surely it is not I, Lord." And finally it was Peter's turn. And Peter said, "Lord, even if I should have to die for you, I would never betray you." And Jesus said, as we know, "Really, Simon, tonight before the cock crows, you will have denied three times that you even know me." And we know that that's exactly what happened. Peter, out of a certain love for the Lord, was tailgating him after he had been arrested. He was there in the high priest's courtyard, just trying to keep some type of witness on the scene. He had already shown some type of willingness to defend the Lord. When the Lord was arrested, he had taken out a knife and he had cut off one of the guard's ears, a man by the name of Malchus. But Jesus had said about Peter, "Peter, the spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak." He had a desire to die for the Lord. He intended what he said. But his flesh was weak. And there, when a maid with an attitude said, "You've got a Galilean accent, surely you're one of this man's disciples," he said, "No, I'm not." She said, "Your accent gives you away." He said, "I don't know the man." She brought it up a third time, and he swore an oath, saying, "I do not know him." It's at that point the cock crowed. Jesus was led out into the courtyard. He looked in Peter's direction. Peter remembered what Jesus had said hours earlier. And he went out and he wept bitterly. That even though he had said that even if he should have to die for the Lord, he would never deny him. He would never betray him. And to stay warm by the fire, to follow Jesus at a distance, he had just essentially apostatized three times. So when Jesus rose from the dead, Mary Magdalene was joyful when she eventually discovered that it really was the Lord Jesus. Soon as the disciples on the road to Emmaus had recognized him in the breaking of the bread, they ran 7 miles uphill in pure darkness just to share that good news with the other followers of Jesus who were still huddling out of fear in the closed doors of the locked doors of the upper room. But Peter wasn't really able to experience his joy yet. Why? Because Peter was a Benedict Arnold. He felt as someone who had betrayed the Lord. And he couldn't forgive himself yet. And we see that in this dialogue. So Jesus, with particular love and care for this sinner, this frail man of weak flesh on whom he was going to build his church as a rock, when Jesus met him, after Peter had gone back to his own lifestyle with his pals, Jesus was going to totally reconstitute him in his task and give him the confidence that flows from his mercy. What happened? Jesus first doesn't call him Rock, doesn't call him Peter, the name he had given him, because Peter felt anything but firm and solid like a rock. So he goes back to his original name, Simon, son of Jonah. Then he asked him this question, "Do you love me?" He knew that Simon loved him, but he wanted this dialogue to lift Simon up. But in order for us to enter into this dialogue, we have to understand a little bit of Greek, because we can't really catch the scene unless we do. When Jesus says, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" the word that he uses is the word agape, which is the word Jesus says, "Love one another as I have loved you." No one has any greater love than to lay down his life for his friends. The word agape means a total self-sacrificial type of love. "Peter, do you love me with a love with which you would die for me?" And Peter said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." But the word that he uses is not agape. He uses the word philein, with a PH, where we get the word philia, Philadelphia. "I love you with the love of a friend." Peter didn't feel confident that he would be able to say that he loved Jesus with a self-sacrificial type of love, because he had already betrayed the Lord when he promised that he would die for him. So Jesus asked him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me with agape?" And Peter replied, "Lord, you know I love you with philia." And so Jesus asked a third time. And here's the real drama. "Simon, son of John, do you love me with philia?" That's why Peter was sad. His Lord had just downgraded. It was almost like a second betrayal. And Peter says, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you as a friend." But Jesus wasn't going to leave Peter there. And he said, "When you were a younger man, you used to dress yourself and go about wherever you wanted. But when you are older, another will dress you and stretch out your arms and drag you to a place you don't want to go." Now in Greek, that expression, "to stretch out your arms," is an idiom for crucifixion. So Peter, even though when you were younger you used to do whatever you wanted, when you're older, in fact, you're going to be crucified for me. When you're older, Peter, you are, in fact, going to die for me. He was giving him the confidence that he needed, that ultimately Peter was not a Benedict Arnold. Peter was going to be made the rock on whom Jesus would build his entire mission until the end of time. And then he finished the entire dialogue by just saying, "Follow me." And Peter would. He would follow the Lord all the way to the end, until he would have another man stretch out his arms and drag him in the circus of Caligula and Nero on October 13, 64 AD, and crucify him upside down. Peter loved the Lord that much, and he gave that witness. But it would have never really happened unless, by the Lord's own loving mercy in all its particularity, Jesus had entered into that dialogue so that Peter could feel reconstituted in his relationship with the Lord. And we see how Peter, from that point forward, would in fact lay down his life for Jesus. And before even his crucifixion, he was already boldly giving witness. Yes, it was also by the power of the Holy Spirit that had come down on Pentecost. But here we see Peter in today's first reading, before the Sanhedrin, who had arrested him and imprisoned him three times. This was the third interrogation by the very people who had crucified the Lord Jesus, who meant business. Think about if you were dragged before ISIS today, what you would think they might do to us as a Christian. That is, in fact, what the Sanhedrin had done to Jesus and were about to do to St. Stephen, stoning him to death. "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this man's name, and yet you are filling all of Jerusalem with your teaching." They couldn't intimidate Peter. They couldn't, even by threatening him with death as they were plotting, stop him from filling all Jerusalem with the saving name of Jesus. Why? Because Peter had recognized that if 40 hours after Jesus was crucified, he was raised from the dead, that ultimately these folks couldn't keep the gospel down. And that even should he suffer, even should he die, it wouldn't be the end. And that's what gave him and the other apostles and the martyrs throughout the centuries so much boldness. So at the end of the scene, it's excised from today's passage, but at the end of the scene, after they said, we must obey God rather than men, we're going to obey God always, and God has given us this commission to preach the forgiveness of sins to the ends of the earth, including for you guys who murdered Jesus. We must obey God rather than men. They had Peter, John, and the other apostles scourged. For anybody who's seen Mel Gibson's movie, The Passion of the Christ, it is a real life scene of what scourging felt like. And so they were scourged, just like Jesus had been scourged. And what was their response? Not, ow, that probably would have been my first response. But they accounted themselves worthy of suffering on account of the name of Jesus. They rejoiced that they had been chosen to enter on into this type of witness, that they would be able to show by their own scars that Jesus was worth living for and dying for. And once they had that type of courage, they were able to be credible witnesses. So what does all of this mean for us? There have been so many times that we, like Simon, have betrayed the Lord Jesus, even when we wanted to remain faithful to Him. Because even though our spirit is willing, our flesh is often weak. Many times in our lives, we have sold Jesus out just to sleep a little bit later on Sunday morning, perhaps. We've sold Jesus out when somebody else was blaspheming, simply because we had too much of a desire for human respect. We sold Jesus out and chose Barabbas in a disguise in an illicit relationship, perhaps. We sold Jesus out because we really weren't going to live courageously our faith. But Jesus comes to us, and comes to us especially in this Easter season, in this year of mercy. And He gives us a second chance, or a third chance, or a 70 times seventh chance, and says, do you, Roger? Do you, Mary? Do you, John? Do you, Elizabeth? Do you love me? Do you love me with this capacity to die for me like I died for you? Do you love me? Do you desire this? And He wants, through the experience of His mercy, to give us a chance to say, Lord, I love you more than a friend, but I need your help to do it. The papacy continues this mission. There's another part of today's gospel scene which is really quite relevant. You know, the second half of the gospel is all about shepherding Christ's sheep and lambs. And the popes continue to shepherd through their teaching office, through the celebration of the sacraments, through governing. But there's also a missionary aspect to today's gospel. And we see it in this first half. When Peter had gone back, the Lord brought him back to the beginning of his own calling. When Simon on that same sea was all night fishing and he caught nothing, and he had come on in crestfallen and he'd already washed his nets and he was going home to crash. And this carpenter from Nazareth says, go back out, cast your net into the deep water and you'll catch. And Simon should have said to Jesus, you're an idiot. On the Sea of Galilee, we catch fish in shallow water in darkness. And you're telling me to go out in broad daylight and put the net out into deep water? That would be like if I were a fisherman, were telling you to use this hammer, you carpenter, upside down. But Simon said, at your word, I will cast out the nets. And he caught such a huge draft of fish, the biggest fish of his life, biggest catch of his life, that when he got back to shore, he dropped down before Jesus and said, depart from me, O Lord, for I'm a sinful man. And Jesus said, don't be afraid. From this point forward, you'll be a fisher of men. And that's the first half of the scene. After Peter had gone back to his former lifestyle, catches nothing all night long. And this mysterious voice from the shore says, cast out into the other side. And then they caught that huge draft of fish. And that's when John immediately recognized, because John also had a fishing business there in Capernaum, that it had to be the Lord, because it was recapitulating that same scene. And Peter, with great joy, dressed himself again and swam 100 yards to get to the Lord as soon as he could. And when he dragged that net across the shore, that number 153 was just not an historical fact, but that's how many fish were actually in the net. And they took everyone seriously. The number 153 was, at the time this scene was occurring, significant of two things. It was the number of known nations in the world. It was the number of known species of fish. So when Jesus had these fishers of men catch exactly 153 fish, they were knowing that he was sending them out as fishermen to literally every nation to catch every known species. Everybody was meant to be caught. And Jesus would strengthen them precisely to carry out that mission. Jesus interested in all 100 out of 100, all 153 out of 153. The church is still interested in everyone. The Pope's mission is to be interested in everyone. And that will explain a lot behind his exhortation of Friday on the joy of love about marriage and the family. And I'd encourage you to read that with that interpretation in mind. That it's meant to go out to everyone and try to bring them in to the mystery of the Lord's love, because everything is based on the marriage between Christ and his church. And that also there's a particular care for the wounded sheep and lambs. Today, as we come forward, the Lord wants us to learn from this interaction with Peter that likewise we're going to show our love for him by the way we tend his sheep and lambs. Jesus never once said, love me as I have loved you. But as soon as he asks, do you love me with this total self-sacrificial type of love? He then says, feed my sheep, tend my lambs, love others, one another, as I have loved you. The love we will have for the Lord will be proven by the way we lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Especially those in the 153 who are not yet in the fold. Today, Jesus strengthens us precisely for that. Today, he cooks for us not breakfast of bread and fish on a shore in Galilee, but he feeds us with his own body and blood, because his love for us was so great that he knew no nourishment besides himself was worthy of our soul. And strengthening us by this great gift of himself, he wants us to then go out and do this in memory of him, to follow him all the way as Peter did, and to go out and fish and shepherd with total self-sacrificial love. This was Peter's vocation and mission, and it is likewise ours, receiving this greatest gift ever. May we be reconstituted in our own vocations and finish it as Peter did. Praise be Jesus Christ.